I note that the editor of Catholic Family News, Dr. Brian McCall, has signed it. I know that Christopher A. Ferrara has signed it.
Kwasniewski, a bunch of our usual suspects
Dr. Peter Kwasniewski has signed it. Father Jerome of Fasano has signed it. There are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. Let me bring Brother Andre Marie on from the St. Benedict Center at Catholicism.org. Brother, I think you know Dr. Mikey Hickson. Dr. Mikey Hickson has signed it.
Micah, yeah, I know Micah.
Or it's Micah, okay. Dr. Micah Hickson. Yeah. She's written some work at Catholicism.org, hasn't she?
Yes.
Yes. So Dr. Micah Hickson has signed it. The list is long.
Her
it's growing.
Husband too, Robert.
Oh, okay. So the list is of signatories is by day, and I see that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano has signed it. Marco Tassati, who is an Italian journalist, has signed it. The list is growing here on the 13th. The last person to sign it looks like Father Terrence Mary Notin, OFMCONV. What is that? The Order of Friars Minor or something, brother?
What was the
OFM?
OFM is that's Franciscan Order of Friars Minor. Yeah, okay. Order of Fratrum Minorum.
And then CONV.
Oh, that's conventual. So he's a conventual friar.
Okay, so here's an interesting one, Father John Fongemi of the FSSP. I would not expect to see an FSSP pre-signature on there. Which
yeah, I saw that, and I wondered. Yeah, well,
strange
I
times.
Don't think he'll get disciplined by the fraternity.
That's what, and I was just thinking that he may not be FSSP for long. strange times in which we live. But I believe though. And I'm not a historian. You are. Actually, I am a historian, not a theologian. I believe, though, that there have been times in the past when there have been letters of concern that have been written about some of the acts of popes. I know if we were to do the biography or the hagiography of St. Catherine of Siena, we would actually uncover actual letters that she wrote to I guess there were three popes at the time she was alive. There was the anti-pope, the Pope of Avignon, and I guess the Bishop of Rome.
Okay, so St. Catherine of Siena she was not dealing with the Great Western Schism. She was dealing with the Avignon. She was dealing with the Avignon captivity.
Okay.
Which preceded the Great Western Schism, and the ending of which sadly occasioned the Great Western Schism. So when the Avignon captivity ended, and that was a mess, another mess ensued, and that was the Great Western Schism.
Interesting. So okay.
They're related historically. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room already says, thankfully, Bamtastic is here. Brother, you have your own superhero character now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
what I've been waiting for my entire life.
You've been waiting for a habit with a big giant bee on it. So now all you need is a cape.
Oh, boy.
A cape and a superhero mask and Brother Andre. Well, Brother, that would actually be correct because it would then make you truly a caped Crusader.
No capes.
All right. I couldn't resist. I could not resist. Okay. A couple of things that we can talk about here today. Of course, we can talk about this letter here. Is there historical, from the historical record, are there instances where, I guess scholars, because they would be considered laity, but they're scholars, people with PhDs and what have you. Well, at the time of St. Thomas, we wouldn't have had PhDs. You wouldn't have had a distinction like that, would you?
Oh, sure. You would have had STDs.
Okay, STDs.
You would have had, they had doctorates. They had doctorates in theology and in law and in all sorts of fields. I mean, don't forget, St. Thomas's time, you had a robust Catholic university system all over Europe. You had Bologna, where the study of law was in the ascendancy. You had Paris, where St. Thomas himself taught. You had Oxford, of course, Cambridge. They were both Catholic. The Salamanca in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm only scratching the surface. There were numerous universities. Gajewo in Poland. I'm probably butchering it. Jagiełło, I think, in Poland. So you had serious, very serious universities, and they offered doctorates. I mean, you read Lives of the Saints, and you'll see he took a doctorate in canon and in civil law. You know, talking
right.
about something that happened to the saint. You know, along the way.
Okay, so all right, so they would have had titles.
Jazzwill in the chat room adds Salerno was known for medicine. That's right. I mean, so you had certain disciplines that were. I was reading last night about a very interesting character in church history, Raymond of Lull, who recommended that for an evangelization program, certain foreign languages like Arabic should be studied. And he recommended to the Pope that chairs of Arabic be endowed in many of these universities, which actually happened.
So let me ask the question, and here's the question. To your knowledge, were there letters of concern like this, or accusations ever written and signed by lay theologians, doctors, and bishops and priests, as this document is?
Well, you had keeping in mind, of course, that the internet didn't exist
sure.
until recently, and that even, you know, telephones and the kind of technology that sort of led up to the internet didn't exist. You did have certain centers of learning, like, say, the University of Paris or the one in Belgium, which the name is escaping me for some stupid reason right now, but not Lublin, that's in Poland. Anyway, you had these centers of learning where the professors would occasionally send a letter either to condemn some sort of heresy or to recommend some sort of course of action in the church on doctrinal or moral questions.
Okay.
And sometimes they would be protesting a heresy, you know, and you had like multiple condemnations of Jansenism, for instance, that came out from various universities and seminary theologates so, for instance, the Irish College in Rome put out a robust condemnation of Jansenism during the Jansenist crisis. So you had things like this, and Jansenism was very strangely tolerated sort of in the church in France. It was weird. But never, I think, never. And you also had individual, theologians spokesmen for theologates and things like that come out and confront a pope or two on certain matters. John the 22nd found himself confronted on the issue of the state of the blessed before the resurrection of the body. He had a weird sort of hyper-Thomist position on the status of the blessed after they die and before the body resurrects. He said they didn't see the beatific vision.
Okay.
And this was a kind of a grave misreading of St. Thomas's thinking. So he got corrected, actually. There were theologians that corrected him, and he was humble about it, and he formed a theological commission to investigate the question, and when they basically condemned his error, he accepted it. And he said he was only teaching as a private theologian when he said this. He hadn't attempted to bind the church to it, by the way, not in any way. But so there are precedents, but I don't think anything, as with so much in our day, there are precedents, but no precedent for something so big and so sweeping.
And it is big and sweeping. Now, this letter came out 2 days. Today's Wednesday, so I guess on Monday. And people are still signing it as of today. That would have been before Pope Francis dispatched the papal nuncio to come to Mordor and then to issue a letter, which I have here, to the USCCB, basically telling the bishops that, hey, we told you you had to include in your teaching Francis's magisterium. He used that term, Francis's magisterium on Laudato Si and on Amoris Laetitia. Just as a side note, brother, before you get started and say anything about it, my priest immediately, as soon as that came out, our pastor, and this is in a diocesan church, came out immediately and said, no one is clamoring for Amoris Laetitia.
Yeah.
He tweeted that out immediately. He said, no one is clamoring for Amoris Laetitia in our parish.